listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 10th, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly here as well, as usual.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. I would like to read our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, as is our custom. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read these in their expanded form, please visit us at metaphysicalhumanism.org. Now, before we get into our topic for tonight, I would like to shout out, I guess, extend our heartfelt feelings and well wishes toward those who were affected by the hurricane going through Florida, Georgia, and into the Carolinas. You know, I know it's tough. And just for those of you who are curious, we are way out of where we are here in Florida is way out of the way. We're getting a little rain, not much wind at all, but just a little rain, which is pretty typical for this time of year anyway. So we were not in the danger zone, but I know there was a lot of destruction up there. And, of course, a year ago we went through Irma here. But anyway, our heart goes out to those of you who are affected by the storm, and not just the storm. I know there's cyclones on the other side of the planet. There's in the Pacific, you know, all these weather issues. Those of you who are affected, we wish you our best and send you lots of light and power, and hopefully you can get through that without, you know, extraordinary trouble, although they're a pain in the butt, especially when you lose electricity. So be safe and to the extent you can. Tonight on our program, we're going to be talking about dreams and what do they mean. And, of course, this is it's a fascinating topic, and it's got a lot of different approaches to it. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of beliefs about it. And, you know, so what are we to make of these dreams? I mean, we all have them. I mean, animals have them. We have these dreams where sometimes we're not sure what to make of them. Sometimes we kind of can figure them out. In fact, I would say a lot of the time we can kind of figure out what prompted them or where they're coming from, but not always. And so it's a fascinating topic, and there's, as I said, a lot of different approaches to what they actually are. Some of the common scientific approaches are basically they're the way your brain optimizes itself. You know, like you optimize a hard drive. You go to sleep at night, you dream, it sweeps out the crud and the stuff, and it, you know, kind of reorders your memory and cleans it up and that sort of thing. But there are other approaches to them as well. Dr. Hunter, you want to?
Well, when you talk about the brain reordering, I think that's important to consider first of all as we address this topic, because basic psychology and psychiatry still operates on a Freudian principle. Freud of course, is id, ego, superego. Id being our primitive, instinctual side of our nature, and the ego being a bridge between the id and the superego, which the superego is being our ability to discern, decipher, our intellect, and it also reflects our reality. So in these three dimensions, that's still kind of how educational psychiatry approaches how we dream. And of course, Freud was well known to interpret everything from a primitive point of view being highly sexual. And so whatever the dreams were, it had to then reflect brain chemistry or our, you know, primal carnal kind of side of ourselves and all those dimensions. And honestly, there's still a lot of the psychiatry that still operates that way. So if you go to ask, oh, I'm having all these dreams, that would be the angle that they come at from to try to get you to decipher them, you know, to tap into yourself and reintegrate your fears and, you know, so on. Keeping in mind that there's no room for the spirit self from that approach. You know, move to the other end of the spectrum, mystics or, and I don't mean any disrespect, but a lot of people in the really way over there, New Age community, take literally it to mean something magical, mystical, etheric, without any consideration for how we operate, like how we are an integration with an organic vessel that has its own chemistry and wiring. So you got two ends of the spectrum, and where I think metaphysics comes in is to be able to narrow that down to a center point of, you know, where spirit, our belief is a spirit joined with a body, and our view of reality, of course, is conditioned from your DNA as well as how you're exposed. So if you have a dream of, you have some religious experience, for instance, of seeing Jesus in a dream, that's likely come from how you were conditioned being raised around a religion like Christianity. Although some people can claim that, oh, I saw this guy in my dream, and right away, how are you going to interpret that? Well, you look outside the self for the interpretation and say, oh, well, that must mean this. So we're always looking outside the self to find out what's in ourselves and understand the mind when it's actually a very subjective experience.
Good
so,
point.
You know, so anything you want to say from there? Because I could really babble about this stuff. Go ahead,
well, let's
Dr.
give
Kelly.
Michael, you have any comments, Michael, at this point?
Well, I've been enjoying listening thus far, but there's so many different avenues to take this, and I went off on a tangent of thought when we got into the id, the ego, and the superego, and I believe I heard you talk about how it's been, we've expanded greatly beyond that kind of basis, but it got me thinking about just that notion and that kind of base set of instincts and knowledge that we're kind of born with and how we kind of grow beyond it. And, you know, that kind of got me thinking onto another tangent, so I kind of lost track of the conversation just a bit because I was going on a tangent thinking about a thought I'd had previously about, you know, is how does the comings of a soul, right? How is it developed? And I was just thinking about a soul as something that develops as it attains consciousness. And it grows as you develop and adds to it. And I don't know how that ties in with reincarnation or things, but that led me back to dreams. And dreams mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people in different circumstances. And I think it's a medium by which a lot of different things are processed, messages are relayed. I've had powerful dreams at moments in my life that were turning points. I remember one this dream very distinctly. It was, you may not be aware of this, but there's an American show called American Horror Story, and I just watched the first few episodes of the first season. I didn't get too much into it. I'm not much into horror. But there were some very creepy settings and, you know, some darker entities. And anyway, I had a dream where I was in that setting. It was a very old hospital. It was some very malicious-looking people and spirits. And at partway through, everything was trying to make you afraid, and I just, at some point, I just got furious at the notion that everything here is trying to terrify me. And I got so fed up, one, you know, spirit, demon, ghost, whatever it was, the malicious entity, was coming out of something. It was, you know, ethereal. And I don't know how, but I was furious, and I grabbed the thing. I was able to hold it. I remember looking at it and telling it, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know what I'm going to do, but at some point I'm going to destroy you. I hate you for trying to make everybody afraid. It's wrong. And I was just filled with this massive righteous indignation. And I just woke up from that, and I just had this powerful feeling that had just washed over me of just really a strong feeling of empowerment at that moment.
Interesting.
Well, now and, that would be... Sorry.
Go ahead.
Some people would call that meeting your dark side, because we all have one, and that's located in our, you know, our carnal primitive side, the instinctual. And so you kind of, when you experience that kind of a thing, you confronted it, and you decided who you are. And well, said, no, you don't have any power over me.
Exactly. And I thought about that, and I thought about that as being... The dream was the mind working through development of the soul is kind of where, and I'm being somewhat poetic with my term of the soul, you know.
That's consciousness, yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. I think it's important to consider, I think you really intimated something here, Michael, that when we're, let's say, children, as they're grounding into the body, and the brain is, you know, finding its neural pathways and deciding reality and stimulated in that reality, all the dreams will reflect their interpretation of the reality. And very often it's fearful. Everything you look at is fearful. Of course, if you're religious, that teaches fear. Mm-hmm. You know, don't do this, you'll get punished. You don't do that, you go to hell. And so the consciousness or the mind is trying to figure itself out. So it starts to have nightmares, dark, you know, kind of dark thoughts. And my way of helping kids through that is just tell them, you know, I give them swear words to use. And they, of course, they think that's really cool because they're not supposed to say those words, but you tell them to go away using other profanities. And they do, because you're empowering the child to decide who they are and decide their reality, and it minimizes the fear, you see. So anything to power up, but that can happen at any point in life. So lots of little things can attach, like fish hooks into the psyche, and like even a thought. I had a woman call me the other day. She was really determined to go ahead with this business, and somebody said, well, are you sure you can trust that woman? And she said, it just put a dark thought in my head, and she couldn't shake it. You see, so whenever there's a negative, it attaches to something, which is like wherever deeply bedded an insecurity might be or a fearful thought, and then it just starts to grow. And it sometimes it doesn't even have to grow. It sits there, but it, you know, you got to kick it out. And so dreams will reflect those things. You know, last week I mentioned that Magda, my late teacher, would say that dreams are fears, hopes, or prophecies. And, you know, it just makes perfect sense considering the psychology inclusive of our spirit. But, you know, we got to advance forward a little bit to also think of, you know, there's a quantum element here about multidimensional experiences. There's altered states of consciousness. Like, I think somebody had mentioned last week about a déjà vu. Well, the indigenous elders I've talked to, all of them agree that the more deja vus that you have, the closer you are to your true path. But the addendum to that is that we exist simultaneously on other dimensions of space-time. So let's say there's 12 Vickies coexisting, then I could be kind of connecting with something like a similar energy in another reality, so myself in another reality. So it's kind of, I kind of see a vertical line in my mind, you know, all these horizontal lines of realities, but we're kind of teamed up somewhere. So it makes sense. Okay, I am where I'm supposed to be because I'm simultaneous with my other selves in other dimensions. That's a possibility. I mean, it might sound way out there to some people, but it's possible. And who's to say in our dreams we aren't also connecting with other aspects of our soul that is simultaneously existing in some other space-time, even if it's not an altered self in an alternate dimension. So because our spirit, our soul, is connected universally. So we're always ebbing and tiding. A lot of people have astral projections during their sleep, visiting other places during their sleep. So, I mean, the possibilities are endless. I think what's disturbing to me is when I hear things like, oh, I had a dream about this and it means that. Maybe. My question, when people ask me, well, I had this dream, I'd say, well, how did you feel? And I ask questions they hadn't thought of because, it's outside of our immediate view. So we have to have a peripheral vision of better understanding ourselves and what it means to us. Because, you know, what a crow means to me isn't necessarily what a crow means to you. We can all agree that the energy of a crow is this. But what's it doing? Where was it? Was it with anybody else? How did you feel when you were with the crow? Do you know what I mean? The variables are endless. So when Dr. Kelly was saying earlier about, you know, it's subjective, it's totally true. But it can reflect so many things. I think the horror part of it, the fear part of it, is a really normal part of being human because it ignites again, that primitive instinctive id, and that's where I go right along with Freud in a way, where it attaches to something, and we confront that to better determine wholly who we are. Because I know who I am, you can't scare me. Well, that's not true. People can't scare me. Spirits don't scare me.
Right. So go ahead, Michael, and then I'll follow.
I was just going to say I really appreciate that you brought up that a lot of times in dreams it's not so much about what you see or who's necessarily involved. It's about how you feel about this. It's you're processing the emotions and you're processing the feelings. And the symbolism can be hard to pin down sometimes.
Yeah. But, you know, Taz is just...
Let me make a comment before we get into that. A couple of points. I want to reiterate, and I've said this before the program started to the others, that, you know, dreams are they're a subjective and personal experience, and they mean what they mean to you and to each of us. And so is there one general interpretation for any particular dream, you know, like people say, well, you know, if you're in a dream and something's chasing you, well, that means something in life. Well, it could. But what does it mean to you? And what do you get out of the deal? Remember, and I believe this from my own experience, that I had this dream once where a helicopter was flying over. Oh, it's not a dream. That's what's happening right now. Well, maybe it's a dream. Maybe life is a dream. Now, there's a philosophical thought for you. Any rate, the point is that I believe that the dreams do optimize the mind and clean out the stuff. And here's the thing that I think is very important, and it's worked in my own counseling and my own attempts to help people, is that, you know, visualization is the language of the mind. your mind thinks in terms of pictures. You know, dreams are in pictures, and there's certainly the other elements to them, the philosophical elements, the lessons perhaps. But the mind uses visualizations as a language. We use that in hypnosis all the time. You know, we create metaphors, and that's what the mind will use at times, and that's what dreams are largely of, a lot of times, is metaphors. You know, we may be in a situation and there's a metaphor. It's a visualization. It's a metaphor for something else that's happened in our life, or something that we fear will happen in our life. You know, 20 plus years ago, I left Jehovah's Witnesses. Best thing I've ever done. But I also lost everybody I ever knew and loved and cared for, including my relatives. And, you know, over the first few years of that happening, I had recurring dreams of my best friend in various circumstances. But all I, you know, and I don't remember the specific dreams, but I know he was in them a lot. You know, he was part of those. And that has continued more or less up to this day. You know, it's very infrequent now, but they're there. I mean, even last night I had a dream, you know, that, and I don't, it's not like I think about this all the time, so I'm not sure where they come from. Maybe you've experienced that too. You have a dream out of the blue about something and you haven't thought about them or for a long time. So you think, well, why is that finding its way into my dreams? But I, you know, dream about my brother and we were at some convention and there was no emotional baggage. There was no distance. I haven't seen him in 20 years and he has two twins. Last time I saw them, they were basically little toddlers. Now they're in their 20s. I haven't seen them and heard from them since. And you know, and so I'm in this dream, and I see him at a distance a couple of times, and then we're up close, and we're kind of greeting each other again. No emotional baggage. There was nothing there like, oh, you're estranged, or, you know, you left the Witnesses. There was none of that. There was no emotional baggage. And one of his boys was there. And even though he's in his 20s now, he presented as like about an 11-year-old. And I went to kind of put my arm around him and give him a hug. And he started crying and backing up as if he was terrified of me. And I'm thinking, you know, wow. And then I woke up. And, you know, I haven't thought about that in a long time. What do I make of that? Well, you know, perhaps it's my own unconscious, I don't know if regress is not quite the right word. I guess I regret that I've been demonized, you know, to my family and friends. So perhaps that's the message that came out of it. What does it mean? Did it change my day? Did it mean anything, you know, momentous? No. It just was an unconscious realization. It's not even something I didn't know. It's something I knew, but it manifested, it represented. So what are we to make of that? Is there some cosmic, you know, input or cosmic slant I can put on that? No, not really. It just, you know, it just is what it is. The mind is a complicated organ, and consciousness is even more complicated. So it's what came through. And it, you know, I didn't have any, I didn't have an emotional response out of the deal after I woke up. You know, there's some dreams. We've all had these, you know, where you've experienced some loss or something in your dream, or you've relived it and you woke up in tears, you know. Dreams are a powerful thing because they use the language of the mind, visualization. But again, they mean what they mean to you, and there's not necessarily some cosmic province to them. Now, some people can have prophetic dreams. I personally not had those, but I know some people who have, who are psychic that way. And that's where I'll turn it over to y'all.
Well, I think there's part of it is each of us grieves in our own way, and dreams can be a process for grief, you know, and, you know, so somebody you haven't seen in 20 years, no matter how close you are, brother, relative, otherwise, it comes through in the dream state. So intellectually in your, you know, friend mind consciousness, you feel pretty good, but the emotions and the unconscious is still processing. And so it'll show up. And that is the manner in which it deals with grief. You know, we each have our own ways of, well, processing is the only word I can use there. But there's, you know, you talk about, I've had prophetic dreams since I was a kid, and knowing years in advance of things that would happen, and hoping a lot of those things wouldn't happen, you know. And I know it can sound like I'm being, you know, fear-mongering or something, but no, I just know what's going to happen. And I hope it doesn't. And it could go this way or that way, but we're co-creating this reality. So there's many different versions of understanding dreams. So if I can just kind of put this in a category of, besides your own fears, besides your own hopes or wishes, because they'll manifest, there's the other department that would perhaps be in some way psychic or prophetic, or, you know, it doesn't even have to be to know ahead of time what's going to happen. It can also mean some people have downloaded information. You know, your psyche is open and you wake up in the morning and you're different, you know, so there's all kinds of things that happen in the unconscious mind. But, you know, that, so we have to remain really open-minded. I think the thing to stay away from is thinking in terms of absolutes. You know, mm-hmm. that's when, you know, there was a comment earlier about, you know, and Michael mentioned it before the program, about, you know, daydreams, you know, or, versus night dreams. And we're not talking about, oh, just your mind wandering. But there is, throughout a day, it's entirely possible to have a momentary altered state of consciousness where it's like you're kind of paralyzed in this reality and go off somewhere else. And that can be, you know, it could be a psychic vision. It could be, again, it could be just the mind has to take a time out to do a process. It doesn't mean you're crazy. It doesn't mean there's mental illness. It just means that there's, oh, something else in the altered state occurring.
You know, something that Michael had mentioned earlier, too, and I was just thinking about dreams. You know, I don't know. I bet you everybody probably has had this. Have you ever had a... I know there's such a thing as lucid dreams. Somebody, Dr. Edward, had mentioned that. I had a lucid dream here a few days ago, a week or so ago. I don't remember much of it. I've had a couple of lucid dreams in the past. But the first one I had, I don't know, maybe a week ago. And I forget, you know, I forget all the circumstances around it. But I was walking into a room and I had just met... been reacquainted with somebody, and I can't remember who it was now, but it was somebody significant. And anyway, I'm thinking, what are the odds of running into so and so? You know, and I'm walking into the another room, and thinking, wow. And I think, heck, you know, if I didn't know better, I would think this was a dream. But then I did a reality check in my dream, and I said, no, this is real. And then I woke up, and that was fascinating. And I had another dream. A number of years ago, this has probably been 7 or 8 years ago, I was taking a nap. Tracy was gone. It was in the afternoon, and I was there, you know, laying on the bed, and she'd come home, and, you know, I kind of woke up and said hello. I remember seeing her in the doorway of the room, and she went in the other room, and a few minutes later, I then woke up, and she was not home yet. And it was so real and so vivid and so, well, real. Just like this one a few days ago, I did a reality check in the dream. Now, this gets, and I'm not, I don't want to explore this because we're running out of time, but the idea behind it is it fascinated me because we can do a reality check right this very moment. Say, oh, is this a dream? Well, no, it's real. This is reality. And I did the same thing in my dream and concluded it was reality. So, you know, and this is, it's always been a question in my mind, you know, when we die, what if we wake up from the dream, from a dream, you know, and think, wow, you know, and I often remember that Star Trek episode, maybe some of you remember it, where Jean-Luc Picard, there was a probe that they encountered and it, you know, fired a beam at the Enterprise and right at Jean-Luc, and then he was transported to another place where he grew into an old man, had kids, and then he was all of a sudden back on the bridge of the Enterprise, and only 20 minutes had passed. That's fascinating. fascinating, you know. And so, anyway, those are just some comments, and we're running out of time. So we want to do I'll go ahead and let both of you wrap up this dream segment. But I just want to point out to those of you listening in the live chat, if you'd like a card pulled from the Inner Oracle card deck, please put your name in the chat room. Michael, any concluding comments on this topic?
You know, there's nothing I can really say that hasn't already been said, but one last thing I'll throw in that's just interesting that I've noticed is there are times where I'll be thinking about a subject and then I'll remember something happening, and then I have to stop myself and I have to say, wait, did that happen in real life or did that happen in a dream I had? Did that conversation actually take place, or am I recalling a dream from a day or two ago?
See, that's fascinating, Michael, because there is no time.
Mm. Yeah.
And like our consciousness, like our super consciousness, doesn't exist on a timeline. Only we do. So you're having an experience. Did this already happen, or has it happened yet? Or having that, that's kind of your mind, like it's kind of out of sync. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like things are out of sync in the time continuum. I find that fascinating.
Yeah. Well, that's been happening several times lately, so that's something that's come to mind.
All right. Interesting stuff. We could go on for a long time on this. So let's turn to our Inner Oracle cards. They are a set of 54 cards and several suits that basically are designed to get you thinking, and that's what they're there for. So looks like the first card recipient or one who wants a card is Kim. Am I reading that right?
Can you grab one for Kim there, Michael?
Of course. This is a perfect one. They're all good. But this is wild card number 2, and then some.
And then some. Good one.
And I shall flip through the good book of reference. When you have reached your limits and believe that you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it. And by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it. So, well, that's one of my favorites, and I hope that had meaning for you, Kim. And I think that one was a twofer because I think that had a little meaning for me, too. So that's thank good. You for that.
All right.
Dr. Edward, I have pulled Greatness to Deliver number 30 for you. And every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what's common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not the problem. Remind yourself of the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you're valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world. And I think that's just a little reminder for uniqueness. I love that. So,
yeah,
great
that's
one.
Good.
Now, Fran pulled a different card, thankfully, this week, Fran, for the group, which is number 6 in boundaries. And I know Michaela piped in to say that number 6 is the lovers in the tarot. I don't have my tarot out tonight, by the way. But, you're right, Michaela, it is in the tarot. But boundaries, it's just a reminder for all of us to be an individual, self-complete, and reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries. So just who owns me is that basically. So good one for the group, a good reminder. So if you want to pick one for Fran there, Michael, that would be great.
Absolutely. And Fran, I've actually picked number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions, and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
I like it. Ellie, I've picked number 17 for you, reinvention. Nothing's more powerful or transformative than reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which is vital to the future success and happiness. Okay. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they're healthy. Answer these questions. What do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented? And we all need that little reminder once in a while. So, Taz is next, Michael.
All right. For Taz, I pulled number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and the discouragements, for they are temporary.
All good. Right. Michaela, welcome to the group. Nice to see you here tonight. I just selected number 32, sympathy, empathy, for you. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, which is sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of doubt until there's no longer a reason to do so.
Not a card we get very often.
No, it's not. The difference between sympathy and empathy, it's, you know, can't emphasize that enough, that we really do have to evaluate that often and make that really clear in our minds. So we're just moving it along because I know we're running out of time and there's a lot of people. There's been a lot of people in the chat for cards. So, Michael, if you could select one for Julian. Welcome, Julian. It's nice to see you here tonight, too.
We also have Darren.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe Darren was after Michaela.
Oh, sorry about that. Go ahead for Darren. I'll get the one for Julian.
All right. Fantastic. I don't recall pulling this one in a little bit. Wild card number 8, freedom.
Mm. Yeah.
Fantastic. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for the present and future evolution. Sorry about that. I had to sneeze. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Yep, that's our motto. Do no harm, do right. Okay. Julian, again, welcome to the group. Number 26, energy signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual or relationship, of course. Keep what's healthy, remove what's unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature. So it's always an important one to check in with.
All right. All of so us. For the last person, I don't know their name, 701252 is what it shows.
All right, Michael, you're up.
All right. So for our guest, I pulled number 4, past, present, and future. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are: 1. You are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2. Don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3. Don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Good. All right. So, good points with that. In fact, that kind of touches on what we were talking about earlier in the dream section about there's no time. Time is all the same. So, good. All right. We've had a lot of good points. Before we wrap up tonight's program, I wanted to put a call out to some of our students, IMHS students, or TFU students. But what we'd like to do is we'd like to get those who are interested to do a 5 to 10 minute like phone interview, just some questions on, you know, your experiences through the degree program with the intent of encouraging other students. So, you know, if you've, you know, as you make your way through the program, if you'd be willing and interested, we sure appreciate it. And other students would appreciate it just to, and I've got like 3 or 4 or 5 questions. There's not too deep, you know, but what your experiences and what helped you and why you would encourage other students to, you know, to keep up with their objectives and on track. And so if you'd be interested in helping us out, we'd sure appreciate it because we want to include that on the student newsletters as we do them. Just shoot me an email. You know, if you're a student, you can email me at the usual address, admin@metaphysicsinstitute.org, you know, or admin@icmhchurch.org or admin@tfuniversity.org. Doesn't matter. They all come here.
You know, we're just trying to find ways for students to also be participatory. We like to be inclusive and encourage you to go to 1PC. You know, there's some really great articles that get posted. You know, it seems that we have some really avid students who come on there, but the more the merrier. So we're just trying to find ways also to be, you know, this is kind of a family. We're all of like mind, or at least, you know, working on ourselves to be that. So, sure would love to. I really just like to interview people. I like to know your story too.
Yeah. And it's encouraging. Yeah.
It is. So that'd be great.
And, you know, it's upbuilding, and that's what we want. We want to have that upbuilding positive stuff and put that out because everybody needs that. You know, life can get a little troublesome at times, and it's nice to hear that what's working and what it can do to help others. So, and there's some great stories too. Our students have some great stories. A lot of them have overcome a lot of stuff. In fact, I'm just amazed at some of them how they've overcome what they have just to get through the program and get their degrees, and then that opens up other opportunities for them. So, if you'd be interested in helping us out, again, it's going to be pretty fast and short. It's not a lot of work involved. Just, you know, shoot me an email and I'll shoot you back the questions, and then we can decide on a time that's convenient, and then it's just a 5 or 10 minute phone call. It won't be that long, so we'd appreciate it. So tonight we have talked about a lot of things. Dreams, always a fascinating topic. We've talked about greatness to deliver, boundaries, being grounded, reinventing ourselves, having a positive consciousness, having sympathy and empathy as it may be for others. Talked about freedom, energy signatures, and the past, present, and future. A lot of things to get us thinking, and that's the point of this program, to get you thinking. And so we hope that that's happened for you. We do appreciate everyone's time with us tonight, those listening to the live program, those listening to the archives. We appreciate you too. And if you have topics that you'd like to hear discussed in this program, again, email us and let us know. We'd be happy to consider those. Thanks to Dr. Hunter and Michael as always. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Have a great night, day, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.